Ever feel like time is just slipping away from you? Like, where's it all go? Today, we're going to dive into a concept that completely flips the script on how we think about time.
Oh, yeah. This one is a real mind bender.
We're looking at a chapter called, get this, Deconstructing Einstein's Time Sphere.
Catchy, right.
It's from a book called Anthology, and the author, David Noel Lynch, he teamed up with AI to craft these, like, super thought-provoking pieces.
Each one is like a little world of ideas.
This chapter, specifically, it introduces us to something called the Noel equation.
And trust me, by the time we're done with this deep dive, you'll never look at a clock the same way again.
So to kick things off, this chapter throws us right into the middle of a conversation. We've got Dr. Eris Thorne, a physicist, loves his data, loves his equations, very much a traditional science guy.
Grounded, you know.
Yeah, totally. And then there's his student, Alex. Now, Alex, he's a bit more of a free spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He brings this idea to Dr. Thorne that kind of rocks his world.
It's like shaking the foundation of everything Dr. Thorne thought he knew.
Exactly. So what is this big idea that Alex brings to the table? It's called, like we said, the Noel equation. But it's not your typical math problem you'd find in a textbook.
No, no, no. Think more like, imagine a diagram, right? But it's got these traditional physics symbols all mixed in with something almost, I don't know, spiritual.
Whoa. Okay, so not just numbers and letters.
Not quite. See, the whole point of this Noel equation, it's not about solving for X, it's about experiencing time differently.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How differently are we talking here?
Well, the Noel equation basically says time isn't a straight line.
Hold on, what?
Yeah, you heard that right. It's a sphere. Think of each moment, every second, every nanosecond even, as a point on this massive time sphere.
A sphere?
A sphere. And get this, each point on that sphere, it contains echoes of the past and like whispers of the future, all happening at once.
Okay, so wait a minute. Are you saying the past, present, and future, they're all happening at the same time?
See, that's the kind of question this Noel equation wants us to grapple with. It throws out this concept of a ternary structure of time. So you've got alpha, that's the past, the domain of objective science. You know, stuff we can measure, observe, test.
The hard facts, the things we can prove.
Exactly. And in alpha, particles are flowing outwards.
Outwards, interesting. So alpha is like the concrete world, the things we can study and understand scientifically.
Yeah.
What about the future then? Where does that fit in this whole time sphere thing?
So the future, that's omega. Now, omega gets a little more out there. The chapter links it to like what it calls imaginative theology.
Okay, that's a new one.
And in omega, instead of particles flowing outwards, you have these waves collapsing inward.
So it's like the universe is breathing in a way, expanding
yeah.
outwards in the past and contracting inwards in the future.
That's a great way to picture it.
So we've got the past expanding outwards, the future collapsing inwards. What about right now then? Where do we fit into all of this? Like me sitting here, you sitting there, what's going on with the present moment?
That's where things get really interesting. The present moment is what the Noel equation calls the instant.
The instant. Okay.
It's the meeting point of alpha and omega, where past and future are literally colliding.
Head-on collision of past and future.
And here's the kicker. This collision, it creates what they call residual heat friction.
Residual heat friction. Now, that sounds intense. What does that even mean? Is that like a metaphor or is that a real, like, measurable thing?
Well, that's the beauty of this whole thing. It's not just some fancy term. The chapter suggests this friction, this residual heat friction, it's actually what gives rise to things we can observe. Like, you know, the cosmic microwave background radiation, that faint echo of the Big Bang.
Whoa, hold on. So this Noel equation, it's not just some abstract theory. It's connected to real, measurable stuff in the universe.
Exactly. It's not saying throw out everything you know about science. It's more like, hey, here's a new way to look at it all.
Like a new lens to view the universe through.
Precisely. Makes you wonder, what if the Big Bang, what we think of as the beginning, was just one ripple in a much, much bigger, more complex story?
Okay. That's seriously mind-blowing stuff. But
yeah.
I gotta ask, how does this all relate to me? You know, if the past, present, and future are all mashed up on this time sphere, what does that mean for my life, my choices, all that?
That's where the M in the Noel equation comes in.
The M? All right.
That stands for potential. But not just any potential. We're talking about the potential of everything that could been, every path not taken, all crammed into this single moment.
So, every moment It's like a crossroads with infinite paths branching out from it.
Exactly. And that's what challenges our whole linear perception of time. Maybe this straight line, past to present to future, maybe it's just how our brains make sense of something way more vast and multidimensional.
So like watching a movie, we see a series of frames, right? And it looks like smooth motion. But each frame, it exists on its own.
Perfect analogy. And here's where it gets really interesting. The Noel equation isn't saying science is wrong. It's suggesting that maybe our methods, our current ways of doing science, they're just too limited.
Like we've been using the wrong tools.
In a way, yeah. There might be stuff happening, influencing reality, that we can't even measure yet.
So it's not about picking science or the Noel equation. It's about using both to try and understand the big picture.
That's it. It's like, you know, when you use different lenses to look at something, each lens shows you different details, gives you a more complete view.
Makes sense. So if we put on those Noel equation glasses, so to speak, what are some of the things we should be looking for? What questions pop up?
Well, for starters, it makes you look at even the most basic models, like the Big Bang, Newton's laws, and you start to wonder, are they the whole story?
Like maps that only show part of the territory.
Exactly. The Noel equation, it hints that there's so much more to the universe than we can even wrap our heads around right now.
Okay, we are officially down the rabbit hole.
And that's where the fun begins. You know, one thing that really struck me about this chapter is how it uses these familiar scientific ideas to explore these big, almost philosophical questions about time and existence.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, it brings up Newton's third law, right?
Yeah.
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. We all learned that in high school physics.
Exactly. But then it takes that law and applies it to, like, the entire universe.
Okay, so how does that even work? How does Newton's third law fit into this whole time sphere concept?
Well, think about it. If every action has an equal and opposite reaction, doesn't that imply a kind of balance, a cosmic equilibrium, like everything cancels itself out?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But then if everything's always in balance, how's there room for anything to actually happen? Like, how does the universe change or evolve if it's always stuck in this perfect equilibrium?
That's the question the chapter raises. It suggests there has to be some kind of asymmetry, something to tip the scales, so to speak.
A cosmic tilt.
Yeah, something like that. That's what allows for complexity, for consciousness even, to arise.
So it's not saying Newton was wrong, just that there might be more to the story than his laws alone can explain.
Precisely. Newton's laws, they give us a framework, right? But the Noel equation, it's trying to map out those uncharted territories, the things that science hasn't quite figured out how to measure yet, like our subjective experiences.
So like knowing how a car engine works versus actually driving the car.
Perfect analogy. And that's the challenge it throws at Dr. Thorne and at us, really. What if the answers we're looking for about the universe aren't out there in space, but inside ourselves?
Whoa, okay. Now, I know some people might be listening and thinking, hold on, this is getting a little too woo-woo for me. But isn't there something exciting about admitting that we don't have all the answers? That there are still mysteries out there to unravel?
Oh, absolutely. That's the power of a thought experiment like this. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about opening our minds to new possibilities.
Embracing the mystery.
Exactly. And maybe realizing that the universe is way weirder and more wonderful than we ever imagined.
And we can't forget, the chapter presents all this through this back and forth between Dr. Thorne, the scientist who loves his hard data, and Alex, the student who's pushing him to think outside the box.
It makes it feel more real, you know? You can almost sense Dr. Thorne struggling to reconcile what he knows with these completely new ideas.
Like the rug's being pulled out from under him.
And that's where the real magic happens.
Because it forces us to confront the limits of what we think we know. To admit that maybe there are whole realms of reality we haven't even glimpsed yet.
Exactly. And in that uncertainty, that's where the real discoveries happen. That's where our imaginations can really take off.
The chapter ends with Dr. Thorne in his office, staring at that Noel equation diagram. And you can just feel this pull he's feeling, you know, this pull towards the unknown.
And that's the question it leaves us with. Will he follow that pull? Will he let go of his need for certainty and dive into the unknown?
And the bigger question for us listening is, will we?
Will we let ourselves be challenged? Will we open our minds to the possibility that the universe might be far stranger and more amazing than we ever dared to imagine?
It's a little scary, but also kind of exhilarating, right?
Definitely. Because if we can let go of our need for all the answers, who knows what we might discover both out there in the universe and within ourselves.
Powerful stuff. Now, before we wrap things up completely, let's take a moment to revisit some of the key takeaways from this deep dive into the Noël equation. All right, so where do we even begin to sum up this whole Noël equation thing? It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it definitely stretches the brain a bit. But I think the important thing to remember is it's not about throwing out science completely.
Right. It's more like looking at it from a different perspective, a different dimension almost.
Instead of time as a line, it's the sphere, right, where every single moment is a point containing echoes of the past, hints of the future, all existing together.
And that whole residual heat friction thing, where the past and future collide. The chapter suggests that could be the very engine of creation, maybe even the source of things like the cosmic microwave background radiation.
Pretty wild, yeah.
Totally. And then there's that M potential. Every moment packed with infinite possibilities, not just the one that happened, but all the roads not taken.
Makes you think about cause and effect in a whole new way, doesn't it?
For sure. And even those fundamental laws of physics, like Newton's third law, could there be a built-in asymmetry, like some kind of cosmic tilt that allows for change and growth?
The Noël equation definitely pushes us to consider those possibilities.
But I think for me, the biggest takeaway is this Noël equation. It's like a call to action. It's saying, hey, the universe is way more bizarre and amazing than you can even imagine, so go explore it.
Yeah, it's like a permission slip to let your curiosity run wild.
Exactly. It reminds us that the answers to those big questions, they might not just be found in equations and data. Maybe they're also in our dreams, our intuition, just in experiencing the world around us.
It's about opening ourselves up to the mystery.
Totally. It's like the chapter saying, don't just study the universe, feel it. Let your imagination run wild. Who knows what incredible truths you might stumble upon.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm curious, what resonated most with you? What mysteries has this sparked in your mind?
Hopefully you're leaving with more questions than answers, because that's a sign you're really engaging with these ideas. It means your mind is opening up to new possibilities. And hey, here's one final thought to ponder. If every moment really does hold infinite potential, what does that mean for free will? Are we choosing between those infinite possibilities without even realizing it? Keep that question with you as you go about your day. And until next time, happy exploring.